You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Our shapeshifter today is Nene Molefe, who is, or Molefe rather, who is the owner and CEO of Mandate Molefe HR Consultants. Her expertise is around culture change, diversity, equity, and inclusion, transformation, strategy. And this is just some of the things. These are just some of the things amongst others. She also has conducted work in the social justice space. And over the span of several years, she has worked with the judiciary, the bar councils of South Africa, and offered several context and diversity workshops for all the judges of the 9 high courts, the Supreme Court, and the Constitutional Court of the Republic of South Africa. She has facilitated dialogue sessions for numerous boards and executive committees on a variety of interventions, including alignment of boards and ex-con committees. Nene is currently working with a number of private schools on unconscious bias and diversity and inclusion strategies. As a member of the Diversity Collegium, a think tank of diversity experts across the globe, she became an expert panelist and joined a team of diversity experts who developed the Global Diversity and Inclusion Benchmark Tool. Nene, good evening to you. Welcome and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good evening. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm glad to join you on this talk.
I am ever so glad to hear from you. I've been looking forward to have this conversation with you. I was jealous when Tapla Moloi had this conversation with you, and I thought, my goodness, I'd love to have a word with her myself. Before we get into our conversation, I'd love to pick your brain. I want to read to you our leadership quote for today. It's by Lao Tzu, and I'd love to hear what you think of it, all right? So Lao Tzu is a philosopher and a writer, and this is what Lao Tzu says. A leader is best when people barely know he exists. When his work is done, when his aim fulfilled, they will say, "We did it ourselves," close quote. What do you get from that?
Absolutely. That is the type of leader that I wish I had throughout my career.
Okay.
I must say that there's one or two who were like that, but I must tell you that that's the best type of leader that you want.
Right.
A leader who uplifts others.
Yeah.
Because you know when you're good, when you are really good as a leader, you don't have to be having the spotlight on yourself.
Okay.
It will happen anyway.
Right.
Because the goodness that people see in you will just come out.
Yeah,
so I am totally in agreement with that now.
I found that rather interesting that you're a leader, but you're almost invisible. You don't exist, which is something dissimilar from what we're seeing with leaders in politics and the world we live in, particularly and specifically in the westernized world. What do you make of that?
Yeah. In fact, you know, in the work that I do, I've got a module that's called you know, when you lead, how when we teach competencies of leadership, right?
Yeah.
Where you're talking about intellectual humility as opposed to intellectual arrogance, right?
Oh, okay.
A leader who demonstrates humility is a kind of leader where long after they are gone,
right,
people will still talk about them.
Yeah, yeah.
People will remember that I am where I am because of that leader.
Right,
I'm what I am because of how that leader.
Yeah.
And we talk about, there's a book, in fact, if people have time to read, there's a book called Multipliers and Diminishers, where as a leader, you are a multiplier of talent as opposed to a diminisher of talent. We've got lots of leaders I know out there whose role it is to just cause mental health issues for people who are just driven by ego to the point of that really, really causing a lot of turmoil. There's toxic workplaces out there. But a leader who leads with humility has to be a leader who's mature, who's not threatened, who knows that she or he knows that they've gotten to where they are because they've worked hard. They don't have to be competing with their subordinates.
Right. So the book you're talking about is the one written by Liz Wiseman?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Les Wiseman, it's called Multiplier. Really, when you read that,
yeah,
every leader will be able to see themselves. That,
okay,
am I a multiplier,
yeah,
or am I a diminisher of talent?
Okay. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, I want to open the line so that anyone who'd like to join the conversation can send a WhatsApp text or a voice note or call in or just listen in, because that's what I did last time. So for people who may have missed out on the first interview you had with Otapelo, the host of the show that I'm saying in for today, who is Nene Molefe?
Wow. Where do I start? A daughter of the Most High, of course.
Yeah,
that's what,
yeah,
I always say.
I like that.
I was born and grew up in Soweto.
Okay.
I'm a Sowetan at heart, and now live in Johannesburg in Houghton.
Okay.
And I'm a business owner. I am a mother. I'm a single mother.
Okay.
I'm an employer. I am a leader at my church. I am so many things.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do at your church?
At my church, I've been an elder this year. I'm not an elder. I'm not an elder because other people also, we need to share leadership.
Yes.
It's called distributed leadership.
Yes.
But I'm the director of stewardship this year.
Okay.
So I'm still sitting on the board, but I'm not an elder.
Okay.
And I'm also assistant women's ministry leader.
Which is your church?
It's called Amazing Grace SDA Church.
Ah, I see. I see. You're a centenar.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
we've just moved. Got new premises. We've moved to Robin Hills in Randburg. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay. Okay.
Yes.
See if we cannot visit there sometime this year.
Yes, you must.
Yeah. Mm. So do tell us, when we speak of your work, how long can you say you have fine-tuned your work? How long has been the span of your career? My career, for example, has been over 24 years. Yours, how long has it been?
Yeah, almost the same, hey?
Okay.
Almost the same, 24, 25 years this year.
Okay.
I've been a business owner for that long,
okay,
right? And for me, throughout, I have learned so much about what God can do in your life throughout my career and my growth. And that's, you know, sometimes you cry about it, sometimes you're excited about it, sometimes, but these are stories that need to be told, right?
Yeah.
And to say that when you are a leader, very early in my life, I in my business life, I bought a book called Jesus CEO, right?
Okay.
To say when you are a business owner, sometimes, you know, you get into, especially that we deal with things of leadership development, sometimes it's easy, the things are combined with a lot of new age. So you need to know yourself. You need to know that I'm leading. Yes, I'm leading people of different denominations and all that. But how do I show up as a Christian leader? How do I show up in such a way that God will be able to look at you, even if other people don't see what you're doing?
Right,
God will be able to look at you and say, I'm proud of what you're doing. Even when you are going through challenges and difficulties.
Yeah.
If you were to ask the biggest lesson, you must be willing to be a fool for God.
Okay.
That I have learned.
Okay.
No, really.
Yeah, I hear you.
I've been through embarrassments and all that.
Yeah.
But if you know that he says, I'm here with you.
Yeah. So I'm noticing that much of what you're saying comes from different pieces of literature by other people, and perhaps in the course of our conversation, I'd love to find out if you have penned down anything of your own. Right now, you've quoted Jesus CEO by Lori Beth Jones. I love the idea of you sharing literature with us, and hopefully maybe you'll tell us, I'm publishing my own, or I have published my own.
No, I have.
Ah.
I've published two books. I've published a book called A Journey of Diversity and Inclusion in South Africa, Guidelines for Leading Inclusively. And I think I did mention last time that, you know, through God's grace, it is a prescribed book for first-year students in Colorado, in University of Denver.
Wow.
So every year I address those students because they're reading, well, they're writing exams. They're reading chapter by chapter. And then I've also co-authored the Global Benchmarks, that if you say throughout the world, if you want to say these are the benchmarks for a fully diverse, equitable, and inclusive organization, what do you need to do? Yeah. So
Wow. Okay.
I'm planning to write another one, my last one, but
It cannot be your last one. If you have started writing,
it's a lot of work. work.
Your last one will be on your grave.
You know, in fact, funny you're talking to me today. Tomorrow I'm launching a magazine, a digital magazine.
Okay.
Called DEI in the Global South.
Right.
Now I'm featuring leaders for what they have done in our country.
Yeah.
And I'm talking Global South, not only South Africa.
But right.
Any country that's in the Global South. So, yeah, I'm busy.
Okay, okay. So I met a young man, I think 2 years ago, who told me, Naya, you must die empty. And so I'd love to pass that on to you. You cannot say, this is my last book. Continue writing, die empty. Don't leave anything in the grave. You must leave it here with us. Leave it here with us.
Dead. You can't do anything.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. Absolutely. So let's go back to your conversation with Thapelo when you were here. I understand you had unpacked a lot of yourself and your upbringing, your foundations and all of that, but there was not enough time. So I want to give you sufficient time. We started early today, so I want to give you sufficient time to just take a step by step, your foundations, your upbringing, where it all began. Go ahead.
Yeah, it began, and you know, I became a born again Christian, or even rather say an Adventist later in life.
Right.
Okay, you know, I firstly, we grew up at home where we're Catholics, and of course we were going to church and all that, and then later as we grow up, you know, when children grow up, they decide to take their own route. Then I joined the Rhema Church, and I was a member of Rhema Church for quite a while.
Right.
And then along the way, met friends who invited me to cell groups. You know, I want to emphasize the value of a cell group, right?
Yeah,
I went
yeah.
to a cell group. I became an Adventist via a cell group.
What?
Because I was in a cell group that was mixed denominational.
Okay,
But then, you know, the pastor at that time, Pastor Misiani, the pastor at that time was so accommodating to anyone who was coming to that. It was at his house.
Right,
And I felt, you know, at some point, I'll get an opportunity myself to share without being judged that you are not an Adventist.
Right,
and blah, blah,
right,
blah.
Right.
So along the way, I think what brought me into Adventism was more the acceptance, the willingness, and then more I got to understand the truth, right?
Right.
And then I became an Adventist. I was baptized. I didn't come via a church. I came via somebody's house.
Yeah.
I never forget the power of small groups, small fellowships. That to be able to do that. And then along the way, then I became that. And throughout, I must tell you, and maybe because I had this Pentecostal background,
kind of.
So you come with this thing that you must claim scripture, you must be bold and claim. So my language was always about claiming. I remember in my cell group, they would laugh, and I said, I'm claiming this one.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, I even in my research, because when you are new in the faith, you read a lot. So I came across, you know, Ellen White in Desire of Ages, where he says, the Lord is disappointed when his people place a low estimate upon themselves, you know, and he desires his chosen heritage to value themselves according to the price he has placed upon them.
Yeah.
So, and I love that. And he says, she says also, he is well pleased when they make the highest demands.
Right.
Whoa, I claim that.
Yeah.
I love it. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be claiming.
Yes.
Do you know what I claimed?
Yeah.
Do you know one of the things I claimed at our cell group?
Mm-hmm.
It was a few years ago. And I said, I claim, I decree and declare.
Yeah.
That was the language.
I
decree and declare in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
That God will take my business beyond the borders
of South Africa.
And then I said, by 2019 or something like that.
Yeah.
Do you know that God delivered 2 years earlier?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Wow.
That because, and when you claim, right, you must claim boldly.
Yeah,
you must claim as if there is no doubt.
That's right.
If God says, I'm not a man that I should lie.
Yeah.
But I need to make you laugh at this, man.
Mm-hmm.
This claiming, so sometimes God answers immediately.
Yes.
Sometimes he answers eventually.
He doesn't
always answer quickly.
Yes.
But on this one, on claiming, then my business is actually international now.
Yes.
And I believe God just wanted to prove to me that I can actually do it, right?
Of course, yes.
But one day I was looking, as I was growing my business now, because my business was growing, I was looking for property for my company. Because the house I was at was small, so we were growing, I was looking for property.
Okay.
And I found a property not far from where I used to be. And I was claiming, I go again, claiming that this one is going to be mine.
Right.
So I tell my staff now, I've got staff members,
Yeah.
Who are They're Muslim, Jewish, okay. Christian. They're mixed,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
I've got a very diverse group of staff.
Yeah.
So here am I in our morning prayers. I'm
yes.
saying, we got this. We're going to get this. And then I say to some of them, let's go and pray, you know, the
yeah.
Adventist. Let's go
yeah.
and pray
yeah.
outside.
yeah, yeah.
They look at me.
Yeah.
Some of them look at me like, what?
Exactly.
And that house is in the corner, right? So there's traffic. And anyway, not all of them came with me, but some came. And we
of
went
course.
And we're praying and claiming and blah, blah, blah to mm-hmm. say, I know we've got it. And then as we were negotiating, I was short of some amount. So
yeah.
another buyer got it.
Okay.
Let me tell you, the next, I think it was about 4 days later.
Right.
I had to come back now to the same team to say, okay.
I didn't get it.
And the way, even my voice, the way I was saying it, oh, okay. I think now I'm no longer, whoa.
Yes,
whoa.
Yes, no longer claiming now.
I'm coming back.
Yes.
I'm saying, yeah, I know God will answer.
Yeah.
You didn't get it.
Yeah.
I was so embarrassed.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. I went home and I said, Lord, you can't embarrass me
oh,
this way.
You don't go
you
see
cannot.
How. Yeah.
And I said, you know, when you're desperate, I'm sure all of us do that. So
yeah.
when you're desperate, you look for scripture.
Yeah.
So, you know, I come across Isaiah 67 that
right.
says 61. That instead of your shame, there shall be double portion.
Hey.
So there I go again.
Hey.
Like,
hey.
Yeah, you know, I won't be shamed. There shall be double portion.
That's right.
And,
that's right.
Know, instead of dishonor, there shall be rejoicing.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Their Lord.
Oh,
their
man.
Hands,
yeah.
Here am I talking
yeah.
like, because we would have morning prayers. And they look at me.
Yeah.
Oh, there she goes again. But this time I was now, it was more like healing myself.
Yeah, man.
Right?
Yeah.
Because I was embarrassed. Do you know what God did? Can
yes.
I tell you?
Yes.
The house that I was aiming for, that I was crying for, that I didn't get.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Which was about, 500,000 extra, whatever,
yes.
that I didn't have, the
yeah.
amount, the extra amount.
Mm-hmm.
So after about, I think it was about a month or so,
yeah.
the agent comes to me. He says, you know, you were crying for this house.
Right.
Opposite to this house, it wasn't on sale or any, I mean, there wasn't a sign or anything.
Right.
But they are selling this house.
Yeah.
I went there, and the agent took me there.
Yes.
And it is my current business now. That's my current business building now.
Okay.
When we got there, that house was the most appropriate. It was bigger
yeah.
than the one I was crying for.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And let me tell you what happened. We were at the same time, we were sort of looking for a property for our church, still
yeah.
looking. It was an open plan. We were able to plant and open a church
wow.
there.
Wow.
Do you know, when I look back, you know why I'm excited about
yeah, yeah.
just be a fool for God? When I look Ooh. Back, is that I was crying, eh?
Yes.
But then, and then I searched. I said, aye, man, there has to be some scripture where
right.
God is healing me.
Right,
so when
right.
you come across scriptures like that, and then he turns around, okay,
yes.
and he shows you that I can actually prove to you that
right.
I can do even more.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
later, I saw that's why I didn't get that property, because God wanted me to get
something
the
better.
One that I would use it for his
yeah.
glory.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
only
yeah.
better in size, not only better in structure, because it was an open plan,
mm-hmm.
but the one I would use for his glory. So, you
wow.
know, so my journey owning this business. Because when things are tough, you know, sometimes clients don't pay in
indeed,
time.
Indeed.
And then I'll say, Lord, can I put this in your hands,
yeah,
please?
My.
I don't want my check bouncing.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
want, you know, because I've got a lot of stuff. I don't want me not paying. So can I put this squarely
yes.
in your hands?
Yes.
And sometimes it's like God wants to test you.
Yeah.
You wait last minute. And then where you think, oh, my goodness. And then he comes through. So I, you know, this journey, I'm really excited to say, and I cannot lie to say all the time, the answers have come at the time that
of course,
I wanted,
of
right?
course, yeah.
But I am just so encouraged that if you stick to the word of God,
yes.
if you stick with him, owning that business.
Yeah.
Yes, business requires that you have the qualifications.
Right, right.
You have all what it takes. You do your marketing, you
mm-hmm.
do your excellence, because I often say I teach excellence as
okay.
well, right?
Okay.
I present on the spirit of excellence to say, you cannot say, yeah, now I'm praying for my business.
Right.
And then you are not delivering to
okay.
your clients,
yeah.
right? Because
yeah.
you will grow.
Yeah.
And also, you'll be known as that shabby Christian who always talks the Bible and does nothing.
Yeah.
So I think for me, what's important is that what I have learned is that God says, with the talent I have given you,
yeah.
can you do the ultimate best?
Yeah.
And I will do the rest.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I have seen that. He gives instructions, and I think we need to listen And as I'm growing, he's in a phase now where he's giving me different instructions. They are difficult now. But he's really giving me difficult instructions. Like, for example, it was about, I think, 1.5 years or 2 years ago, God gave me a direct, you know, like when he says to Noah in Genesis, build yourself an ark, as direct as that, right?
Right.
I get this message where God says, I want you to open an account. And I want you to call it a mustard seed.
Okay.
As direct as that.
Okay.
And I go to my finance manager to say, we need to open an account. And he says, Osnini, what do you mean? What for? We've got this. I said, no, you know, God to tell. And then he looks at me.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I said, no, I got this instruction from God. Let's open this account and we call it mustard seed. So like in any business, you have to come with, if your finance manager has to ask you those questions, right?
Yeah.
To say, what's the business plan behind this?
Right.
What is this account? Hey, wait, King, I don't know. Ne?
Yeah.
It's an instruction. Let's open.
Just open the account. Yeah.
Do you know this? Do you know? You know? Every January, 2 years now, God will give me specific instructions that I want you to pay school fees to serve that child.
Oh, wow.
That even when I don't have the money, can I underline? There was one, he gave me an instruction that I want you to pay that person's school. When I asked how much is this, I didn't have that money. I said, Lord, no. I cannot pay this off. And you know, when God says, be still, and I am God, I closed my eyes, and my finance manager said, are you sure? Who is this person that I say, I don't know her. I was given by God. She is one of the children who studying in one of the tertiary. I was given instruction by God. She's allowed. She's about to be chucked out of university. I paid. If I say to you, you know, I must write a book where it's got these.
If I say to you
that when God came back and rewarded me, not that I was waiting for a reward.
Right.
But the way God rewarded me, gave me favor, I'm told.
Yeah.
In terms of just a company that approached me, underline this, approached me. I didn't know it's a pharmaceutical company that approached me. I didn't know them from a bottle of soap.
Yeah.
They said, we know about you. We know this and this. You won some or other award. And we just want you to be our partner for enterprise development. Therefore, we are giving you X amount.
Wow.
It was a big amount.
Wow.
It was probably maybe five times bigger than the amount I paid.
Wow.
For that child.
Yeah.
So and it's not only that one. Then God brings another one. I want you to pay for. But here for me, my lesson is that if we are obedient and listen to what God is saying, even if you don't understand, even if you don't know why you should be doing it, and as I said, I have learned that when you are a fool for God,
it's painful.
It's a battlefield sometimes.
Oh, man.
You say, but Lord, you said I must do this.
Yeah.
It looks like you have me alone.
Yay.
Now, so I'm in that journey at the moment, and growing this company by His grace.
I can tell you right now.
You know what? God promised.
You are ministering to me personally right now. It's like a direct ministry to me right now. I'm hoping everyone who's listening right now is getting as much of a blessing as I am getting. Now, I'm curious now. When you look at your journey with Christ, when did it actually begin? And when you look at your journey with Christ, whenever it began, do you find that it has waned? And did you ever want to give up at any given time of your journey with Christ? When did it begin, first and foremost?
I must tell you, it began, I think it was about 17 years ago or something. Around that.
Okay.
And I must tell you when it started. You know, when you are in the beginning stages as a new born-again Christian, you are on fire for God. Everything, you are like there on cloud nine. You are there. And then as you progress and you go through your own crucibles and you see, who says this is just milk and honey?
Right.
At times you get despondent. You pray, like I've been praying for certain members of my family for some challenges for a long time. And I say, Lord, When are you answering me? And it's the same God who says, but I'm also blessing you in another area
right,
of your life,
okay.
Right?
You're right.
And you don't want, because God is blessing you in terms of your career, but in terms of another, I want blessings everywhere. It's almost like I'm selfish. You know, when you're talking to your father, right?
Yeah.
But I find that later, when I joined the Adventist Church, I must say the first 2 years, because the cell group was different. I had a different fellowship. But in the church itself, the first 2 years, yo, they were difficult, eh?
Oh.
Because I was feeling, hey, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this, Robin. I was feeling a lot of that. And I must say, there were times where I said, no, man, hey, am I in the right church?
Okay.
So I was feeling like I'm going on a, you know, sort of low kind of energy.
Okay.
But then again, my cell group and the cell group even grew. And wow, how powerful that cell group
is.
And I felt that, you know what? No, it's when the enemy tries to say, because I am totally proud of my church. It's not the wrong church. It's not whatever. But there are moments. And that helped me to say, new members who are joining our church.
Right.
Right. We must really be alert and awake to what they might be going through.
Okay.
That is why we would have a crusade and have a lot of people being baptized.
Right.
And then
right.
after 6 months, they are not there.
Mm.
Right.
Mm.
And now I know what you go through in that 6 months, because I went through that.
Okay.
So I think, again, our ministry is our own history, right? So I guess my ministry is that newer people who are coming into our church, who are not Adventists, who are coming into our church, how to ensure, okay, that you continue to disciple them, how to ensure that you keep them close, because our church can be frustrating sometimes. And it's easier to misunderstand people's intentions.
I like that phrase, our ministry is our own history. My
yes,
goodness,
absolutely.
Aren't you pregnant absolutely. With a lot of nuggets right there? Beautiful
yes.
stuff. So the captain of the ship that I am I'm driving right now is listening. Tapele Moloi is listening and is saying she is an awesome woman. She is an amazing leader, an exemplar to young people. That's Tapele Moloi for you. And we've got another text message from Okwi Manuel. I hope I'm reading that correctly. Okwi says, I am fired up now. God is
Hallelujah.
Awesome. So I'm just letting you know, a lot of people are listening and getting blessed by what you're talking about.
And can I give people a tip who are listening,
mm-hmm.
especially younger people, right, who are professionals who are working in organizations. You know, sometimes what we do, I often say, If you invite me to your house, Naine, and then we're spending 80% of the time talking about load shedding, crime, unemployment, you know, I'll leave your house walking like a zombie. Ne?
Right, right.
I will leave your house walking. But if I decide that, let me change this conversation,
okay,
right?
Okay.
You know, we always talk, Steve Covey talks about the three circles.
Yeah.
You've got the circle of control, the circle of influence, and the circle of concern.
Right.
If you spend most of your time on the circle of concern, things that are difficult, things that bother you, things that are not working,
right,
your whole body, your whole, it becomes, it's psychosomatic. So what we need to be doing
right.
is that, how can I increase the middle circle, right, the center of control, those things that are positive,
right,
even in this challenging country of ours. So the tip that I want to give to people, which is what I once did, is
right.
that throughout your career, if you are to look back and identify people who've made a difference in your career, right, and then write a booklet.
Yeah.
Ne? I'm not talking about if it's too much to write a whole manuscript and publishing.
Yeah,
I'm talking about that. Put together a booklet.
Yeah.
Write one page for each of those people. Even if you're starting from a high school teacher to a university lecturer to whatever, people who have made an impression in your life.
Right.
And write that book. Ne? Put it together. Bind it. Make it beautiful. Present each one of them
right.
in that book.
Right.
Do you know what that does,
first of all?
First of all, I remember when I did it a few years ago, people who I thought they were so high up in their career, I thought they are already well accomplished.
Right.
Some of them were in tears. Like,
oh,
what?
Man.
Because I just wrote one paragraph to say, this is what you did to my life.
Woman,
some of them didn't even know that, you know, you can have a coach without being formal.
Right,
right. Somebody's coached by observing them. So, yo, I want that person.
Yeah.
So I would write to say, this is what you once did this for me.
Right.
You once presented my name in a place where it matters.
Right.
You know, We talk about the difference between sponsorship, to say if you mentorship and sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
If I mentor you,
yes,
us as career people, we like saying, hey, we want to mentor. It's one thing to mentor.
Right.
I can mentor you, but I must go beyond that and say, how do I sponsor somebody?
Right.
And sponsorship is mentioning somebody's name in a room full of opportunity.
Yum.
That's sponsorship.
Yeah.
So if I say, you know, do you know somebody called Nae?
Yes.
Do you know Thabo? Do you know? And if I already have that stature, if I have the power, if I'm in the big boardrooms,
yeah.
I'm mentioning, I'm dropping your name there, okay? Because other people won't know you.
Mm.
And because it's me who's saying it, they might then take an interest.
That's right.
So I'm saying throughout our lives, there are people who've sponsored us without us asking them, right? Put together that booklet and give it to every one of them. You see how much of a big smile you're putting in people's faces.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, when I did it for me, there were 12 people that I put together. And they were mixed race. There were two guys who were African speaking.
Right.
I write about them in my book. Really made a difference in my life. That man couldn't believe it.
Oh,
he
man.
He said, is this what I did
for
your career? So imagine, because it will take you some time, I get it, to put together that booklet.
Yeah.
You are now in your center of control.
Yeah.
You are not in the center of, hey, cry me. I always say, I know nobody in Nako business, go union buildings. I can't do anything like electricity.
Right.
I can't do anything.
Right.
So what is it that I can do? The things that I can have influence and control over by God's grace is those things that God has placed me in a position where I can do something. Just brighten somebody's life.
Yeah.
Just tell them that this is how good they have been.
Listen to this. So the concept of name dropping has always been to your advantage.
Yes.
But now you're saying you must drop names to benefit the owners of the names. I'm a name, man.
Drop a name on somebody who's 3-4 levels below you.
Man. Yeah.
And tell those who are influential, who are, hey,
did you
know there is so and so? And you say, you know, I like her tenacity.
I like
excellence.
Nice.
And then people, because of your power, your rank, your power, your influence, people listen. And they say, oh, really? And then I say, yeah, I can give you her telephone number.
Yeah.
That's how you sponsor.
Yeah,
it
man.
It took me, it will take you 5 minutes to sponsor somebody. It will make a difference in their lives for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Because you are now presenting them in the corridors where they would
Oh, man. I like that. All right. So now, when you look at your life as it has been up until now, is there anything you would have done differently?
Hey, man. Hey. You know, there's always the temptation, eh?
Yeah.
Because I'm a single parent now.
Okay.
You'd say, hey, man, maybe me focusing on too much on my career, you know, that is why you end up being a single parent. And then, and you know, the minute you do that, eh? The minute there's a voice that brings criticism to your life, you must know that's the enemy's voice.
Okay.
God will never
plant
that in your head. So we must learn to say, hey, devil, get behind me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
With the period that I've gone through being a single parent, bringing up my kids on my own with God, God has helped me to do this. So I said, okay, this part I don't have, take it behind me.
Right.
What I have, I praise God for it. So if you say, is there anything I could have done different? I don't know. Do you know even something as controversial as when I was 16, my mother died.
Right.
And I almost became the inverted commas, the older one in my family. My younger brother was 11.
Yeah.
It was really, when I look back, that even then, God did something.
Mm.
And when I look at the level of success in my career,
right.
that you would have never thought that at 16 pela is young.
Yeah.
At 16, you do not have a parent. And then our father left us when we were still early as well.
Yeah.
So, but God was there as well.
Yeah.
So if you ask me, yes, I would have loved to have my mother longer.
Right,
and all
right,
that, but
right.
even when she wasn't there, what God did. And remember back then, I was not even a Christian. That's why we must never misunderstand God.
Okay.
God works for everybody.
That's right. That's right.
I think those were, I was at the time, now I wasn't born again,
yeah,
or when I was 16. But God took care of us.
Yeah,
we are
man.
All his children anyway.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
He would take care of you because he knows our lives from the end to the beginning. He
yeah.
knows that that one eventually she'll come
right,
into the
right,
kingdom.
Right. Wow. Okay. Okay. Any last words? Words of wisdom, nuggets you want to plant in somebody's heart as we part
you
ways.
You know the nuggets are mm-hmm. this. I know they've heard it over and over again. I said, good leaders read.
I like that.
Great leaders read a lot.
I like that.
Do you know that if you just go on, and the way I do it, because I from the time and the work that I'm doing,
right.
you cannot go Spotify.
Yeah, yeah.
In Spotify, yeah. when I drive and I listen to the podcast
yeah.
for some of the books that I select.
Right.
It's amazing. When I do my workshops, people say, hey, yo, Nini is reading, man.
Yeah.
I hear I'm reading when I'm driving.
Yeah.
I'm reading when I'm listening when
yeah.
I'm driving. So I'm saying these days, especially for the young people,
right.
there are so many avenues for us to keep abreast with the profession that you are in.
Mm.
You know, you can teach yourself a skill from scratch.
Right, right.
Getting into YouTube
yeah.
and teaching yourself a skill that how do I do this? How do you become an expert in this? Because the difference between a mediocre person Ooh. And an expert is consistency.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah.
If you do something and you do it every day and the passion that you hold it and you say, that one is my vision.
That's
and
right.
I will stick to it until I achieve it.
Ooh, my goodness. Oh, no, I'd love to interview you on something else that you said, but for
yeah.
another day, for another conversation,
yes.
another
yes.
platform, because this one we're focusing
Amen.
On just how it made
Amen.
Your business. But I would have loved to pick your brain on a number of things that you have said here tonight.
Mm.
And I'm ever so blessed. Thank you ever so very much, Nia, for
Thank
your
you.
Testimony.
Thank you so
and I'm looking forward
really
to actually meeting you and sitting down with you and
yeah.
engaging you on a personal level. Thank you ever so much. Appreciate your
I
time.
I really appreciate the invitation. God bless. Thank
oh,
you.
Oh, my
Bye.
Goodness. That's 4 minutes, 14 minutes now before 8. Our shapeshifter for today. I can tell you now, her experiences alone, the way she narrates them, you can't help but be fired up. I understand what Okwe is saying there when he says he's fired up. The way she's put it, it's not like she hasn't gone through things, but the attitude she approached those things, marvelous, outstanding stuff. Just still listening to Business Sense.
You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.